So Indira Mukherjee, did you send all the recordings to ISKCON Desire Tree?
Yes, we did that time only.
Okay, and in between, did Mataji, she was asking you about more recordings?
No, but those recordings regarding them, she asked me which verse and all that, some clarifications were needed, I gave it to her.
Okay.
And thereafter, no communication.
Okay. ओम ज्ञान विनिरंदस्य ज्ञानांजनाय शलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं नमः तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री असदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे या ओके सो ऑब्वियसली आई वाज आल्सो मिसिंग आवर क्लासेस एंड सो बिकॉज यू नो लाइक आई हैड गॉन टू विजिट फैमिली सो देन most of the time we were with them and but still I was able to manage hearing chanting I mean chanting obviously but hearing and reading I was able to manage every day hearing was a bit less you know because the only time I used to get for hearing is during you know when I was answering nature's calls that time otherwise reading was going as it is because reading you know we can do it on the phone also so I was able to do it but definitely I was missing association of devotees and all our classes plus I was also missing I mean like luckily we had like my brother's house was just like 15 minute drive to Toronto temple so we got to visit there a couple of times then we went to New York there we are staying close to Brooklyn temple so every day we used to go to Brooklyn temple and that was a very good experience and we also went to Bhakti Center and then obviously I had sent pictures of Pumpkin Square Park and the second, you know, this First Avenue matchless gifts. You know, so Second Avenue, I think it's located in Second Avenue. Where Prabhupada started, he began the Hare Krishna movement. So it was a great experience. And regarding, you know, so I wanted to share some experiences, but you know, we can also discuss about the Bhagavad Gita. So we have finished Bhagavad Gita in the last class. And so as we know that, you know, the first six chapters is consisting of Karma Yoga. The center six are, you know, consisting of Bhakti Yoga and the last six are consisting of Jnana Yoga. So anyone has any, like, you know, specific query or doubt about any chapter or any question, like, you have any question about Bhagavad Gita? Yeah, and this Monday class, you know, like it will be a very important class because I will be sharing many important things from Prabhupada's Leela, which we think, you know, it is a norm in ISKCON or the standard that Prabhupada gave. But there are certain standard, I mean, there are certain things that were beyond standard, which were said by Prabhupada. And obviously, it was more personal, on a personal basis, rather than a understand and we can actually realize that how important it is to appreciate the devotion of a devotee rather than to like focus on the fault of the devotees many important aspects you know with this regards so you'll be hearing something really very very interesting stuff on Monday obviously I will be questioning you so you know that will be a question answer session only But many things I've heard, you know, like because the entire 1 month, mostly I was hearing Prabhupada memories. There are many, many videos. Many Prabhupada disciples are sharing their experiences, interaction with Prabhupada. And so like you get to know so many things which are not even in the books. Okay, it's a first-hand experience. And books are generally very theoretical. Especially Shastra and all that, they are very theoretical. Prabhupada's purpose are definitely very practical also but implementation is more theoretical like okay And then Prabhupada was with, you know, his disciples, outside people, you know, the way he actually communicated with them, that was exemplary, you know, and it was like really unique. I mean, you know, it was, and you know, he behaved differently in many different situations. So we'll discuss that, all that points, in Monday's class. So any question from Bhagavad Gita? Someone has joined? Any other devotee joined? No one? Only Angel Mataji and Swati Mataji?
Looks like that.
Because I'm hearing, you know, the sound of someone joining.
I had got disconnected, then I joined back.
Oh, achha, okay. Okay, so what happened is, you know, like when we reached Toronto, you know, just in few days there was Rath Yatra, and this Toronto Rath Yatra is like the biggest in North America. So we went there, and you know, it was predicted that there will be rainfall, but obviously, you know, we cannot expect like Mumbai, the way it is raining in Mumbai. But you know, when we, so and this okay, Swati Mataji, have you attended Toronto Rath Yatra? Have you been to Canada? Anyone has visited Canada? I think you have gone, right? Rajiv Prabhu and Mataji, you both have gone. Because Rajiv, I remember Rajiv Prabhu was telling me that
we just visited Niagara Falls from the American side. We didn't visit Canada.
Really? But Rajiv Prabhu was, I think, sharing that...
Maybe before we got married, when he was younger.
Oh, yeah, he was staying, you know, he told me that he was staying there for like 2 days. And he stayed at the temple. That's what I think he told me. So anyways, you know, this Toronto Rath Yatra is actually taking place at the Toronto Island, which is, you know, it's an island, you know. And so then what they do is, like, you know, they carry Jagannath Balde Subhadra from the city to the, you know, center of the island. So obviously they have to take a ferry. They have to take a boat ride, and so Jagannath Balde Subhadra, they will go in the boat. And then we couldn't attend all these things, but you know, we went in the afternoon time. So so it was predicted that it is going to rain that particular day, and so, you know, but somehow, you know, because it was not raining when we started from our house, so we thought that okay, you know, and probably we forgot to take umbrellas. So then, you know, as soon as we reached Toronto Island and we reached at the festival playground, so immediately it started raining extremely heavily, severe rain, thunderstorm. Okay, and because we didn't have umbrella, and you know, what happened is, like, there were tents built up for the festival, with different tents for different purpose. So all the tents were like full with people, because in the Toronto Island there were like about more than 40,000 to 50,000 people for the festival. So all the tents were full, because obviously that is the only shade they have, you know, for the rainfall, this thing, you know. So then we, so what happened is, you know, I was just running from one place to another place, trying to save myself. But in that duration, I got completely drenched. Completely wet, you know, like fully. And I was thinking that, you know, like when I left Mumbai, I thought that, okay, it's so nice that I have escaped Mumbai rainfall. But, you know, karma, you cannot escape easily. So then, you know, even Mumbai rainfall, I escaped, but somehow that rainfall I had to tolerate. And it was like very heavy, severe thunderstorm. But it lasted only for 1 hour. So, you know, I was like completely drenched. And then I thought that, you know, like, oh, you know, why did I come here? You know, like, because First of all, I'm going as a tourist person, and I don't like generally when I'm outside, you know, I'm like, I don't specifically make plans to visit programs and all that. But because it was a Rath Yatra, and then, you know, devotees also invited me. So I said, okay, I will go for sure. And I was thinking that maybe I will take my nephew and niece also, because, you know, they are like 1.5 year old. But somehow, you know, they couldn't make it. And it was like, I think it was a big decision that we did not take them because of the rainfall. It would have been very difficult to manage them. So myself, my wife, and my sister-in-law, we three went. And three of us, you know, got completely drenched in the rainfall. So that, and then, you know, because of that, I just took a glance of Lord Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, the darshan, and we waited for, you know, almost an hour so that the rain can pass away. And then immediately we left from that place. So, so anyways, you know, that was gone. And then I left Toronto for Mumbai when I came back. You know, I heard, when I reached Mumbai, I heard that it rained very heavily in the last 3-4 days. Okay, and so we literally, actually, I escaped that kind of rainfall. So I was thinking that actually, yeah, you know, really speaking, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, they gave us the token reaction of the rainfall. Otherwise, we would have, if we were in Mumbai 3 days earlier or 2 days earlier also, you know, maybe our flight would have been cancelled or delayed or thing, you know, God knows what would have happened. So then, you know, like our flight arrived on Wednesday morning. And I think the rainfall was till Tuesday, right? It was till Tuesday. Monday or Tuesday. Right?
Yeah, it's been raining continuously.
Yeah, continuously. For 3 days it was, I think, raining continuously. So that, you know, it was a great relief for us because obviously the journey is extremely tiring. I hate that kind of journey, you know, like long duration journey, because, you know, you can't sleep and you can't do anything. Like it's very difficult also to chant, you know, inside the plane and also focus on chanting and also focus on reading and hearing and all that. So it was like, you know, it's. I mean, I hate this kind of journey. But somehow, you know, like we had a halt in between. So for some time it was like quite okay. And, you know, obviously we get jet lagged also because of that. So that was actually a great relief for us, because if it was raining heavily here, then another, you know, and what I've heard is that, you know, a lot of people got sick because of viral infection due to this heavy rainfall. So I realized that, okay, you know, Jagannath probably gave that token experience to me. It was better for me to get completely drenched there than to, you know, be in this environment in Mumbai. So that was my experience, you know, and this keeps happening with the devotees also. You know, like the Lord is very merciful, and then He gives, you know, relief from the karma also. Many times He gives the token reaction for the karma. So that is one experience. Another experience, you know, like what happened is I think devotees keep getting these kind of experiences, you know, that. Our, like when we are returning from New York to Toronto, that time our flight was delayed. And delayed, I mean, actually, see, what happened is our flight was at 8:30 in the night. Okay. Somehow we reached airport at around 4:30 itself, 4:30. So then, the staff from our, you know, this airport, you know, one of the staff, so she told us that if you want, you can go in standby and you can catch an early flight instead of catching the late one or our flight, you know, which is 8:31. So she was saying that you can catch this 5:45 or 6:15 flight, you know, if you want to go in standby position. So we said, okay, you know, I think it's a good idea. Anyways, we want to reach early. So then what happened, you know, we went, and somehow what happened, you know, we went, and then, you know, they announced that the flight is delayed. So that got delayed by 1 hour. And then the flight kept getting delayed again and again. So the flight, which was at 6:15, it you know, it got delayed to around 7:30 or something. So, around 7, yeah. And then what happened is, you know, we boarded the plane, but and the plane was in queue for taking off. So it was like, you know, I after some time, it was just, you know, it was our plane's turn to take off. But somehow they got the news that it is raining very heavily in Toronto. Like, it's going to rain very heavily because, you know, they have this forecast and all. So because of that, because of visibility issue, the plane was grounded. And it was not moving only. So almost 4 hours we spent inside the plane only, sitting inside the plane. So that was also a pathetic situation, you know, because, like, it's better to, you know, wait outside, you know, in the airport, rather than to sit inside the plane for such a long time. And then, the plane finally took off at around 11 in the night. Then it got, you know, news information from the ATC that now, you know, the rainfall is subsiding in Toronto. So then finally took off at 11 p.m. So I was just, like, you know, thinking that, you know, why, you know, sometimes the Lord will want us to suffer like this. You know, in, like, repeatedly these kind of situations will come. Well, what the Lord is gaining from that? And then, like, immediately I felt that, okay, actually, probably, you know, this is our own karma, you know, and, you know, probably it is a token reaction again, you know, same thing, same concept. And why I got this feeling is that, you know, because I did realize one thing, that when we were not devotees and then we are devotees also, many times, you know, we have transgressed certain rules and regulations that we are supposed to follow. As an, you know, as a human being, we are supposed to follow certain rules and regulations. Like, let's say, for example, what happened is, you know, when we are coming back from the Rath Yatra to our house, so there was a, you know, so we have to, like, we are supposed to take a ferry, okay, or we are supposed to take a boat. So there is a private boat and there is a big ferry. And for the big ferry, you know, there was a big, big queue. So we skipped that queue and we thought that, okay, we'll take a private boat. But in the private boat also, there was a big queue. So we thought that, okay, now see, in Western countries, generally people, they have the patience to wait, you know, and at least they have that courtesy and respect for other people also, that they will not, they are very patient people. Like, they are not like, you know, Mumbai passionate people, or they are not like Indians, you know, especially. They are so, you know, become so impatient in these kind of situations. So then, my wife said, let us just skip, because anyway, you know, see, if we are in India, then Indian people will start blurting, you know, they will become angry and they will start yelling at us that how can you cross the line, how can you go ahead like that. But in Western countries, you know, they will not say anything like that, okay, because they don't feel, you know, good about it. So they will not say anything. So then my wife said, okay, let us just go ahead and let's join someone. So we skipped that line and, you know, we went in the front and immediately our turn came. So we felt very happy that, oh, you know, like within a, you know, like a couple of minutes, you know, we are able to, otherwise we would have to wait for like half an hour or 1 hour. So we did that thing. And so, see, this situation I am just sharing, you know, because immediately I realized that because we transgressed certain rules, regulations, you know, some certain material laws, so that's the, you know, reaction that we are getting, basically. And so it is actually very important to follow certain things, you know, in the material world also. We cannot escape. We cannot break the material laws. Obviously, if you are serving Krishna and then, you know, because of some higher purpose, if you are breaking the laws, then Krishna can adjust that, and we don't have to suffer for that, because there is no karma. But in the material world, when we are, you know, not involved in Krishna conscious activities, and just, you know, like all the time, if you think that, okay, the Lord will make arrangement and, you know, we'll escape from that, you know, but that does not work, okay, all the time. So I realize that, you know, this is a reaction that probably I'm receiving, you know, because of my own, and this is, and you know, see, this is not just one time. In India, we keep breaking these things again and again, okay, just for our benefit, our own desires and all that, our selfish motivations and all, right? So, actually, according to law of karma, for every action, you have equal and opposite reaction. You have to bear for that. You have to pay the price for that. So, whether you might be successful in breaking one of the cues, you know, and you might be able to go ahead, but the future is awaiting you, you know, and in future, you'll have to suffer for that. And what happens, see, Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada says, if you all know this, Prabhupada said, you know, in one letter or in conversation, that in the material world, the law is that even if you take one penny from someone, you know, if you are in debt, and if you take one penny also from someone, then you have to repay, and if you don't, like, you know, if you don't give back that money, the karma that you incur is that you have to pay multiple times, you know, what you have taken from someone. If you don't pay to the person, you know, at the right time. So you'll have to multiply, you know, multiple times you'll have to bear the karma for that. So that's the law of nature. So Prabhupada used to say that that's the reason a devotee should never be in debt, or he should never take favor of anyone unless required. Because if you don't repay that favor, then you have to, you know, give back multiple times. So this is what we actually understand, that in the material world also, we have to follow certain principles and etiquettes. And obviously, you know, for higher purpose, we can definitely break it, you know. But in general, you know, we should follow. Otherwise, we'll have to pay the consequences at some later point of time. And so we, you know, I just realized that maybe, you know, anyways, you know, that obviously Krishna is kind that, you know, he again gives token reaction. Because if you consider our entire life, then how many times, you know, we have broken these rules and regulations and material laws, and, you know, we might have broken many times, but still the Lord is actually given some kind of token reaction for that. So, and then, you know, what to speak of ordinary devotees like us. You know, Prabhupada also suffered many times. He, you know, his flight also got delayed, cancelled, and so many things he also faced. So what to speak of ordinary devotees, right? So this is actually, you know, my experience, one of the experiences that I got. yeah, so any devotees, they would like to share something, comment something. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I wish Khanna Prabhu was here. He has started reading Bhagavad Gita regularly now. And
okay, very good. What about you, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji, we are both reading. We have reached the second chapter.
Oh, great. How much time you are reading every day?
Half an hour minimum.
Oh, wonderful. Great. So that is very good. And yeah, so I hope that, you know, you are both. So when do you read?
Preferably in the morning. Khanna Prabhu does it in the morning. I read anytime during the day.
Okay. Oh, so you are reading separately?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that is also actually, it's I think it's good, because that way you will become independent. You don't have to depend on anyone. So, I mean, you know, definitely sometimes you can read together also, because reading in association is definitely very beneficial, and it is very blissful also. But So, you know, the point is that you should not become dependent on the other person. That is the point. So whenever you got association, definitely, you know, take advantage. But if you don't have association, go ahead. You know?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So Bhagavad Gita is, you know, to implement the teaching of Bhagavad Gita, it takes lifetime. It is not very easy. We can see from Bhagavad Gita that Krishna is a kind of God who is accommodating, very merciful to everyone. Depending on how you approach the Lord, He will reciprocate accordingly. In general, you know, if you see, like, if you understand Krishna's nature, then He's always seeing the good qualities of others. He never focuses on the bad things. Unless one commits offenses to the devotees, he will only focus on the good things. So, you know, Krishna has given multiple ways to approach Him, because we are at multiple levels of understanding and surrender to the Lord. And that is the kindness, you know, as a loving father, you know, that is His kind nature. So He is unlimitedly merciful, but sometimes His mercy, you know, is very difficult to digest also. I mean, maybe not sometimes, but many times, especially for devotees. So one particular question, you know, that was asked by one disciple to Prabhupada is that there is the Christian path and, you know, the path of the Western world, where they have this monotheistic idea that there is only one God. But, you know, here in our very culture, they have this understanding that we have multiple gods. So polytheistic idea. But actually, obviously, you know, Vaishnavas know that there is only one God. We worship Krishna and Vishnu as Supreme Lord. So one question was asked to Prabhupada that is it better to follow the Western religion, which says that there is only one God, you should only worship and love that one God? Or is it better to worship the demigods, you know, like, and follow the Vedic culture? So Prabhupada said that actually it is much better that you follow and worship the demigods than to follow the path of the Western religion. Because the Western religion, people, you know, they are full of meat, they are all meat eaters. You know, whereas if you follow Vedic culture, even if you worship demigods, gradually you will be elevated and you will start worshipping one God. So Prabhupada said this is better than this one. Okay. But the question is that, you know, even in our Vedic culture also, there are a lot of meat eaters. So then why Prabhupada said that this path is better than that path? Any idea?
The demigods are also serving Krishna only after all.
Yeah, okay, but see, they so, like, you know, they are trying to follow Jesus, and Jesus, Prabhupada said that he is the representative of God. So then why, you know, why demigod path is better than?
It is described in the Vedas.
So, I mean, yeah, okay. The Vedas actually, you know, they describe, yeah, I mean, it's a Vedic culture, basically, which is talking about worshipping demigods. But then what is wrong, you know, because even if you approach Jesus and, you know, if you want to love God, then what is wrong in that? Because, you know, it's the same thing. It's a Vedic thing only. There is only one difference, you know, there is one big difference actually. Why? So, you know, this is the reason why Prabhupada said this is much better. So, so see, in both parts we are meat eaters. Okay, so that actually, by meat eaters, you know, what Prabhupada basically meant for the Western people is that mainly they are killer of cows. So their main, you know, so meat eating basically, you know, refers to beef in, you know, for the Western people, because they are like, they have that very frequently. Whereas in India, everyone knows the importance of cows. I mean, obviously, you know, there might be some people who are eating beef also, but that percentage is very less compared to the percentage in the West. Like, you know, here, if you see the worshippers of goddess Kali, so they generally sacrifice goat and some other less, you know, this lesser category of animals, you know, they might sacrifice for the pleasure of Durga. But they don't sacrifice cows, because everyone knows the importance of worshipping cows. So they have a lot of respect for cows. And because of this, you know, offense, it's a great offense actually. That's the reason, you know, Prabhupada said that they are meat eaters. So specifically he said that, you know, they are like meat eaters. So we should not follow the religion of the meat eaters. We should not worship that path, and demigod worship is better than that. Because even, see, then in the Vedic culture, finally the goal is to give up meat eating. Even though, you know, even if you offer to Durga also, but the idea is that by that offering, repeated offering, finally you should give up meat eating. That is the goal. Okay, the ultimate goal, which is also explained in the Manu Samhita and other scriptures. So it does not encourage to eat meat. And specifically, obviously, the position of cow is definitely, you know, renowned in the Vedic scriptures. But in the Western religion, there is no concept of that. So that is the reason. Okay. So Bhagavad Gita, you know, is a letter which is starting with philosophy on Karma Yoga. It is going to Jnana Yoga and then culminating in Bhakti Yoga. Now, one important, very important aspect of Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita is that if you read Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga or Bhakti Yoga, you will find everywhere Prabhupada is mentioning Bhakti Yoga. And he connects Karma and Jnana also with Bhakti Yoga. So finally everything becomes Bhakti Yoga. That is a speciality and uniqueness of Prabhupada's purports. Right? I think when we have, you know, when we were going through the purports, what did you read? What did you read? Like most of the time, what were you reading? What was Prabhupada mentioning in the purports? Whether it is Sankhya Yoga, whether it is Jnana Yoga, you know, Ashtanga Yoga, Karma Yoga, anything, you pick up any chapter from Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada's purports, what will you find in that?
Bhakti Yoga. Buddhi Yoga.
Huh?
Bhakti Yoga.
Bhakti Yoga, right? So what does Prabhupada mention in the purports? So give me some examples about how Prabhupada is connecting everything to भक्ति योग
that we can work for.
Someone can give some examples. Are you there?
Yes,
sir. Yeah, so Angel Mataji and I think Ujwala Mataji has also joined. So give examples. What have you understood from Bhagavad Gita? How Prabhupada is actually connecting to Bhakti Yoga? So, the purpose of any scripture is that we have to understand the message and we should know what is the content of that scripture. Right? So, what you have understood from Bhagavad Gita? What is the goal of Bhagavad Gita? What is the ultimate goal? I think Angel Mataji, you are the only one probably who can speak, because Swati Mataji, I think she can't speak, and I don't know about Ujwala Mataji, if she's able to hear and able to speak. So you'll have to answer.
What is the goal of reading the Bhagavad Gita?
What is the goal of Bhagavad Gita? What is the message of Bhagavad Gita, the essence of Bhagavad Gita? You don't know that?
आप बताओ.
सो आई मीन आई थिंक एवरी डिवोटी मस्ट नो व्हाट इज द गोल ऑफ भगवद गीता, राइट?
टू अंडरस्टैंड दैट वी आर पार्ट एंड पार्सल ऑफ कृष्णा, टू सर्व कृष्णा.
Yeah, to surrender to Krishna, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that is the goal of the Bhagavad Gita. And the essence of Bhagavad Gita is all, surrender to Krishna. And so what Prabhupada is doing in all these chapters, or let's say what Krishna is doing, he's just trying to make someone surrender to him. So whether it is through, because he's connecting people at different stages, but finally he is saying that connect to me in bhakti. You know, yogi nam api sarvesham madgantar gatar antaratmana shaddhavam bhajatu maham. So the greatest yogi is the one who always abides in me. He always thinks of me and he is always in me, right? That is the greatest yogi. And the greatest karma yogi is also someone who is surrendering his results to Krishna. So he's connecting his fruits to the Lord. So Prabhupada always, you know, he says that he is connecting karma with bhakti. So, you know, when you perform certain activities and you align those activities, the intention to perform those activities, if that is to please the Lord, then that is channelized in bhakti yoga. And you also offer that fruit to the Lord. That is engaging that fruit in service of Lord. That is karma yoga. And then jnana yoga is also obviously to understand about the Supreme Lord. To use our intelligence, knowledge to understand about the Supreme Truth. So everything is connected. Now for all these things, obviously we require bhakti. We require devotion. Because without devotion, there is no question of attaining any result. You know, even if you focus on full, like, you know, 100% karma also, but in order to do that karma, you need require some kind of devotion to perform that karma. Okay, and because you know that the fruit is not in your hands, so obviously, you know, you also worship the Lord to some degree, expecting the results of that karma. So there is devotion in all the elements. That is the reason bhakti is always independent, but karma, jnana, these are all dependent on bhakti. So, right in the, you know, last chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is always establishing different paths, different ways to approach him. But then, you know, and obviously, in between, he also talks about the direct path, the ultimate goal to reach him, or the best path, the fastest track. You know, he is mentioning in between. And at the end also, you know, he is mentioning that leave all the lower duties and surrender to me. So 18th chapter is actually giving the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita. Although it is, you know, knowledge about the Supreme Lord, but in that knowledge, Krishna is revealing that Mam Ekam Sharam Vraja. You have to surrender to him. Okay, so in the 18th chapter, you will see Prabhupada is like, so, you know, 18th chapter is actually the culmination of the Bhagavad Gita. And in the purpose, and or in the statements of the Bhagavad Gita itself, there are many statements where the Lord is actually asking Arjuna to surrender to him. And then Prabhupada is giving in the purpose, he is giving that one has to surrender to Krishna means one has to surrender to the representative of Krishna. Because one cannot understand Krishna directly. And one cannot speak to Krishna, one cannot know what Krishna wants from us. So one has to surrender to the representative of one of our spiritual masters, right? And that way only one can actually understand the desire of the Lord. Right? So the entire process is leading to surrender to Krishna's representative, ultimately. Right? So the highest form of surrender or the highest form of sadhana is to basically follow the instructions of the spiritual master. That is the message of the Bhagavad Gita. Right, and we'll see that, you know, because there are so many instances where Prabhupada said different things at different times. Okay, we'll talk about that in detail, you know, in our Monday class. We'll probably be able to understand much better that how surrender to the spiritual master is actually the highest form of sadhana. Because that is the desire of the Lord. Okay, so this is the ultimate culmination of the Bhagavad Gita. To follow the instruction of the spiritual master, that has to be the first priority in Krishna consciousness. Rest other things, you know, they will take precedence depending on the instruction that you receive from the spiritual master. Yeah, one more thing. you know, I had a meeting with my, you know, Siksha Gurus, Shesha Prabhu and his wife, Madhumati Mataji. So, like, we have a long relationship, right, from Gainesville days, you know, like, almost more than 10 years now. And so Shesha Prabhu is actually, you know, Prabhupada disciple and is very, very dear friend of Radhanath Maharaj. And Madhumati Mataji is also extremely very close to, you know, Radhanath Maharaj, his entire family. And so they are like, you know, very, very close to us also because Madhumati Mataji is like our mother. So we have a very, like, very deep relationship. And because of that, you know, Shesha Prabhu is also very close. So, you know, we, so somehow, fortunately, you know, they stay in Florida, in Gainesville. But somehow by Krishna's arrangement, they visited Toronto. I mean, they visited Canada. And they were in Mississauga. So when, so somehow, you know, by the Lord's arrangement, you know, we were able to meet them. Like they were staying at the, like Mataji's brother is living in Mississauga, in Canada. And so like that is 1 hour drive from Toronto. So we specially, you know, went there, you know, and we met them. And so we had like, you know, we spent like almost, almost like around 3 hours with them. And so Shesha Prabhu was like discussing things with me and, you know, I was also sharing my experiences about the online classes and about devotees and like he was also sharing his experiences and all. Obviously, you know, his experiences are like much more mature and, you know, because he's a Prabhupada disciple and, you know, he has spent like more than 40 years now in Krishna consciousness. So I was just sharing him, you know, certain points that what I feel about cultivating, you know, like devotee preaching in India or to Indians in general. And so I was sharing with him that generally in India, you know, the mentality is that devotees want to do their own thing. And they're not so committed for Prabhupada's mission, you know. And so he you know, immediately told me that, you know, I can actually understand and relate to what you're saying because during Prabhupada's time also, there were like Indian devotees who wanted to, you know, just sit and chant and like, you know, practice Krishna consciousness in their own comfortable way. But Prabhupada was actually, he was not, you know, he was not encouraging that. In fact, you know, Indians were not so comfortable to go out on the streets and do Harinam and Kirtan and book distribution because the Westerners were very used to this concept. And you know, they used to enjoy it. But Indians were like very, like they were not so comfortable doing this. So Prabhupada did not encourage that idea. And he actually wanted the Indians also to do that. Now, obviously, many Indians are doing it. You know, like obviously, I'm not saying that Indians are not doing it. There are devotees who are committed to temple activities and, you know, especially those who are living in the temple who are full-time devotees. So they are doing a lot of, you know, preaching activities. Probably they might not be doing Harinam Sankirtan and book distribution so much. Okay, now obviously there are, see now in the Western countries, if you observe, there are more, the Western devotees are more like Sankirtan devotees. Okay, and in India, you will find that, you know, the Indian devotees are generally of mixed culture, you know, in terms of like doing multiple services. But they will not commit for book distribution and Harinam Sankirtan so much. You know, like, it might be like, you know, it might that Nam Sankirtan might be going on once in a week, or book distribution they will have once in a week, but they will not go so much. Okay, because the concept here is that everyone wants to engage their talent in the service of Krishna. Or especially, you know, when the Grihastha devotees are involved, then obviously everyone is concerned about their comfort zone and they want to engage their money in Krishna's service, which is obviously, you know, the right way for them. But you know, what happens is generally because of this facility and comfort and all that, devotees are, they become used to that and they become attached to it. And that's why they want to, you know, they generally they are striving for some kind of satisfaction, you know, or some kind of comfort. So that's the reason, you know, chanting is the only thing that they want to do. And then, you know, obviously the dham visit, the yatras. So the only two things that they will do is, you know, they just keep going to the dhams and they will just keep chanting and, you know, engage their money in Krishna service. But actually, you know, it is important to actually understand that Prabhupada has given a lot of activities, he has given some responsibilities. So these things are more important. And so Sheshapur was like, obviously he was sharing with me his experiences during Prabhupada's time, that how Prabhupada was not encouraging that. In fact, I also told him, you know, about some devotees in Mumbai who get together on different occasions, like, you know, Ekadashis and festivals and all. And they get together and they chant like 64 rounds, 128 rounds and 192 rounds. And so he was also like skeptical about it. He was like not completely positive about it. And he was saying that actually, you know, probably they could take some responsibility for Prabhupada's mission to engage in preaching and all that. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, if some devotees are preaching, they are taking their responsibility, and if they are doing chanting more number of rounds, that is the best thing. But it should not happen at the cost of preaching. So you should not like keep chanting more and more rounds at the cost of preaching Krishna consciousness. So the focus has to be to preach Krishna consciousness. That has to be the main. Or you have to find out the service which you can actually render to the society for a long time, this thing. And see, generally this chanting activity is an internal activity. Okay, it's an internal activity. It is not necessary actually to chant externally. Technically speaking, in fact, just today only, you know, I read one very amazing definition of Kirtan by Srila Prabhupada, the way he defined in one letter to his disciple. He said that Kirtan means you repeat what you have heard from the spiritual master. The amazing definition. You know, like, so generally, you know, we think about the holy men and all that in terms of doing Kirtan. But Prabhupada said, you repeat what you have heard from the spiritual master, and that's how you become a great preacher. So this is what Prabhupada writes in the letter. In another letter, Prabhupada talks about, I think this letter I've shared in the group. He says that Kirtan and what was that? It was Kirtan or chanting, and I think he was talking about some service, and he was saying that, you know, these two things are the same thing. Yeah, I think it was probably about something related to books, you know, typing and all. So typing and like Kirtan is the same thing. So there is no difference between that. So, you know, as we have like discussed earlier, that chanting Krishna, Hare Krishna, or, you know, doing service to the holy name, these are one and the same thing. And obviously, you know, when one should do what, that has to be decided by the spiritual master, and it should be done accordingly. So then we get the full result of our sadhana. Otherwise, we can keep chanting for a long time, but we'll not get the result soon. Right? So, so I mean, you know, Sheshaprabhu was sharing, you know, these things. See, now obviously being a Prabhupada disciple, being with Prabhupada during that time, and as we know that Prabhupada disciples were the ones who had surrendered to Prabhupada so much, and they were doing many things for Prabhupada. So obviously, you know, he would definitely say these things, because he is carrying that spirit of you know, expanding Prabhupada's mission, right? So that's the spirit of any Prabhupada disciple. You know, most of the Prabhupada disciples you'll meet, you know, they will always talk about preaching Krishna consciousness, expanding the mission of Prabhupada and all these things. And we also see that in our ISKCON movement, that, you know, our own Guru Maharaj also, you know, they are also doing the same thing. They are just preaching. So Gopal Krishna Maharaj at the age of 75, what he is doing, you know, when we heard a class of Maharaj in Toronto, you know, he's preaching. And his preaching is what? It's the basic thing. He gave a very basic class. You know, he was just talking about, you know, how this material world is actually temporary if you want to find happiness. Because you know, they had organized a, you know, feast program, and there were, you know, some people from outside. So he was just speaking of very basic things again and again, you know. So all these devotees, you know, our own Guru Jan, you know, they are just talking about preaching Krishna consciousness, and their life also is inclined towards that. So it is very important that, you know, we inherit the mood of our own Gurujan, you know, our own Acharya, our own Gurus, and we contribute in that way. You know, then our sadhana will be more successful. So, because this is what, you know, Prabhupada's movement is about. It is basically about taking anxiety. Actually, it is taking anxiety. It is not to sit peacefully, which is obviously, you know, tough. It is very difficult also, and that's the reason many devotees, they don't go for this option. But, you know, if devotees want to make advancement quickly, and, you know, it's a shortcut, you know, to go back toward it, then preaching is actually very important. Plus, they will also realize with time, you know, if they advance in Krishna consciousness, that actually we want to serve the Lord. We want to increase His bliss. So, because, you know, the Lord is very blissful when He sees that many, many living entities are coming to Him, coming again to Him. So that obviously, you know, it's a very common sense thing, because, you know, a father, if he has, you know, 10 children and all these 10 children are lost, and if one son will come to Him and then He will bring the other 9, so can you imagine what will be the happiness of the father? So, and that one son will get so much mercy, so much benefit from the father. So this is, you know, very common sense thing, that if we bring more and more people to Krishna consciousness, then, you know, the Lord will be very pleased. So this is also the message of Bhagavad Gita, the end of the chapter of 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, right? So Krishna says that whoever is preaching this knowledge to others, they are the most dear to Me, and there will be no servant dear to Me than His servant, right? So the goal is that, you know, we have to get inclined towards this direction, and we should try to help others as much as possible, take responsibilities according to our capacities, according to our talents and all. And obviously, it's just not about, you know, book distribution or Naam Sankirtan or this and that. You know, Prabhupada engaged all the devotees in different capacities in their, you know, according to their talents. But everyone was in, you know, in one direction. They were all engaged in one direction, and that is to spread Krishna consciousness. Okay. So by the spreading Krishna consciousness, one gets the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and because of that, one will get taste in the sadhana also. But without preaching, that's the reason, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Naam Ruchi Vaishnav Seva Jivdaya. Without Jivdaya, you cannot get taste also in chanting the holy name. So all these three things should happen simultaneously. That is, you know, the path led by Srila Prabhupada. Okay, and obviously, you know, if you preach, it is not different from chanting also. Like Prabhupada said, that Kirtan, Sankirtan is the Brihad Mridangam, which means it is a greater Mridanga than just the Mridanga, which is, you know, like Sankirtan is, or the book distribution is more efficient than Kirtan, because the books can reach to each and every nook and corner of the world, whereas Kirtan can be heard in a limited place, in a limited zone, right? But books can travel throughout the world. Now, this time, I was able to remember that I should carry books and I should pass it on to others. So, you know, I took some like 4 or 5 small books, and while on the journey, you know, they're new people, so I just made friendship with them, spoke to them for a couple of, you know, like for half an hour or something, and just gave some books to them for free. So that way, like, you know, I had a target that before coming to India, I should finish all these 4 or 5 books that I have. So I was able to finish like 3 or 4 books on the journey to Toronto. And whenever we used to take Uber in Toronto or other places, like Montreal and Quebec. So I handed them the small books. Because generally people outside India, when they drive Uber and like Lyft and all, so they generally, they want some kind of tip. I mean, obviously they don't mention it, but generally it is like, assume that, they would give tip. So instead of the tip, what I used to do is, I used to give them small books. And small book is very actually handy, very useful. It's very lightweight. You can carry it also. Obviously the hardbound is like the big books are very heavy. So it is very difficult to carry it. You can only carry one book. So instead of that, when you are traveling, you can carry small books. And then you can, whichever person you meet, you can just like interact with them for a few minutes also, make friendship with them, and just give them a book. And 100% they will take it because they won't deny it. It's a token of, your friendship. So what I used to say is, I used to speak to the person and then I used to say that, it was nice meeting you and I would like to give you something. This is a tradition from India that we want to give something as a gift to others. And so this is, this is a book about Indian tradition and values. So kindly, if you have time, please read it, go through it. You'll understand about India's culture. So that way I used to pass out, all the books. So I did not discuss any philosophy with them because obviously they are new. Unless and until, they see our chanting bag and they start asking questions directly, then it's a different thing. But, there is no need to talk about philosophy. Prabhupada said that what your 2 minutes of preaching will do. In fact, if they read even one word from the book, their entire lives will change. So the goal is when you are distributing books, the focus is that the book should go. Okay, and if required, obviously we can speak also. But without speaking, if the books go away, that is also definitely beneficial. So so on the journey also, when you travel, you can carry the small books and you just keep distributing them. You can make friendship with them and just pass out. So if you're traveling within US, within Canada, wherever, like whichever country, then generally all these people, Uber people and Lyft people, they will appreciate. Taxi drivers, you can give them, when your journey is completed, you can just give them, as a token of like appreciation or something like that. So they will actually like it. So now whether they read or not, that's a different thing. But at least, they might give the book to someone else. That way our books can also reach to different parts of the world. So this is what we are doing. So the meeting with Shesha Prabhu and Mataji, it was very wonderful meeting. And this is something that, devotees, and obviously, then the topic came about Srila Prabhupada's books also. So he was also telling me, that it is so important that all the devotees in our movement, they should read Prabhupada's books and it should be emphasized repeatedly. So reading of Prabhupada's books has to be there. So without a balance, we are discussing that without a balance of reading and, doing other forms of sadhana, it is very difficult to be enthusiastic in Krishna consciousness. So I was like just sharing my experience that the thing that is like keeping me enthusiastic is basically the association with devotees, our online classes, sharing, Krishna consciousness subject matter on a regular basis, but basically discussing the Shastra together and relishing that. So these things are very enthusing for a devotee. So the devotees, they are always striving to talk about this, because without that they cannot live. So it's very important to get a taste for the Shastra also. But obviously, the ultimate goal of reading Shastra is to actually understand Shastra and to implement Shastra. So if we implement Shastra, then we advance very quickly. If we understand Shastra but we don't implement, then the advancement will be less. That is also another thing. So, yeah, you know, and obviously, like, had some other few experiences also. But yeah, I mean, you know, it was like, okay, you know, probably materially it was so nice, such a beautiful place, you know, like everything is so luxurious, comfort, there's so much comfort. And but you know, spiritually, obviously dull. Unless you go to the temple, it is very dull. Like, you know, you don't have an inspiration. So in India, we can actually feel the vibes because India is a spiritual place and there are so many temples here. People gather in huge numbers to visit temples, and people are in some degree, to some degree, are spiritual also. But in the West, you'll not find that. So it is a dull place also, you know, spiritually. But, you know, that's the reason, you know, we have the temples to associate and to spread Krishna consciousness, to actually give chance to others to become also devotees. So, yeah, so this is actually the Bhagavad Gita, basically. And obviously, you know, it's a Bhagavad Gita is, you know, we say that this is the culmination of Bhagavad Gita, but Bhagavad Gita obviously talks about many other things, that as a devotee also, what should be our behavior, and, you know, we should control our senses, you know, which is actually very difficult. So it's a practice for a devotee also at the same time. It's not that one has attained some kind of perfection, but it is a simultaneous process where that's the reason, you know, we are taking shelter of devotees, shelter of Guru Sadhu Shastra, so that we can try to keep, you know, keep trying to control our senses, strive to become better devotees, you know, quality devotees. And that's how, you know, we can actually also spread Krishna consciousness more and more. Because purity is the force. Right? So purity means definitely, you know, the attentive 16 rounds and regulative principles, and obviously our character. Right? So preaching does not require one to speak so much. Just by one's character, one's personality, one can attract others. But, you know, obviously, you know, that's Uttama Adhikari, you know, but at least on our stage, we keep practicing, you know, we have to tolerate a lot, you know, which is the most difficult part. So, you know, many times, you know, we feel that we are actually more fallen than the materialistic people also, or some devotees are more fallen than the materialistic people, because some materialistic people, they are so nice, they are so kind, they are so compassionate by nature, they are in the mode of goodness. But these devotees, they are like so passionate and ignorant. So we might, you know, come across these kind of circumstances. And yeah, and it is true also, you know, many times we feel like that because we everyone is acting through their nature, you know, according to their nature, they are practicing Krishna consciousness. And so it is very difficult to overcome one's nature. It's easy to preach. It is very easy to distribute books, but it is not so easy to distribute your most favorite prasadam, to share that with others. You know, if you have very less quantity of that prasad, if you are very hungry, and if someone will come, you know, so you won't be able to share because, you know, you want it. But if you want to give a book to someone, then definitely you'll give it. So easy, right? Because it's not taking any sacrifice from you. You just have to hand over the book. But here you are sacrificing your own liking. Right? So certain things are like very, very, you know, these are very critical things, you know, which is actually useful for realizing that, you know, we have to work a lot in our own sadhana and Krishna consciousness. Because Vaishnavi is actually a very big word. You know, takes lifetime to become a Vaishnava. That's why we are trying to become devotees. We are not even devotees. yeah, so, you know, like, and that, I think, you know, so advanced association will help us to overcome these habits. That's the only way. So, you know, all the characteristics, all the qualities of a devotee that Bhagavad Gita is describing, the, you know, Krishna is describing, very, very difficult. You might see study devotees, you know, in their sadhana and all, but in terms of developing these qualities, they are probably far off. You know, we are probably not at that particular stage. So we have to realize that. We have to work on our own sadhana, and at the same time, we should also try to give Krishna consciousness. So this is the message of Bhagavad Gita, you know, surrendering to Krishna and sharing Krishna's message. Right? Because a devotee naturally should feel compassion for others, for people that who are suffering, who are without Krishna consciousness. So definitely they should be more compassionate. Right? So anyone has any comments to share? I mean, you know, like, I think this is the most difficult path also, you know, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, that a devotee's path is set by thorns. You know, if a devotee wants to attain the Lord, then, you know, the path of that devotee is set by thorns. You know, it is, so there are many, many challenges. It's not so easy. It's actually, people think, you know, in the material world, people think that this Hare Krishna, what are they doing? You know, they are wasting time and they are just like, they just want to chant and dance and escape from responsibility. But the biggest responsibility is actually to change one's nature and character. That is what the Krishna consciousness is also, obviously, it's a secondary process, you know, where we also want to change our nature. We want to surrender to Krishna. And that is the most challenging path. It is very difficult. No one, you know, it is, so, you know, whoever is going to stay in this path, you know, they are very fortunate. They are like actually really tolerant. Otherwise, it's very, very difficult path. Because when the Lord will test you, you know, that will be the greatest challenge. It's very difficult to overcome that test, to pass the test. You know, and that's why we always have to take shelter of Guru Shal Shastra. So it is, you know, people may say that, you know, like someone becomes a sadhu, you know, they are escaping from the worldly responsibilities. But actually, a real sadhu, you know, if someone would want to become a real sadhu, then it is more tough than also, you know, taking all these worldly responsibilities. Because it takes a long time. So Krishna will, like, definitely test our patience, like anything. So, you know, in the material world, what do? You know, if someone will not reciprocate with you, you stop reciprocating with that person. But in Krishna consciousness, you cannot do that. Because, you know, Krishna does not reciprocate, or if he is challenging you, you know, he is like testing you, you cannot run away. Okay, so you have to really surrender, actually. And so, that means you are actually sacrificing your ego. And in the material world, people would not do that. So they will just escape from that. So actually, real escaping is for the materialistic people, because they don't want to surrender to the Lord. They don't want to accept the challenge. Actually, they are afraid. They are fearful. See, most of the Indians, you know, they believe in God. But they don't follow because they are afraid. They are fearful. What will happen? They don't have faith. Yeah. So it is, you know, the priority of, you know, the spiritual master has to be always the first. It should be always the first priority to please the spiritual master. No matter whatever we desire, whatever we want to do in spiritual life, that should be the secondary thing. But whatever spiritual master wants, that should be the first priority. And this is what actually Prabhupada disciples had. You know, they had only one thing in their mind. They were not thinking of advancement in Krishna consciousness. They were not thinking of their own sadhana. Obviously, you know, like a very exceptional few cases were there where they thought that, you know, they would conduct their own sadhana. But then after some time, you know, they left KC. So, Prabhupada, most of the Prabhupada disciples, majority of Prabhupada disciples, they had only one mood, to please Prabhupada. And they only knew Prabhupada. They didn't know Krishna, they didn't know anything. Because obviously, how can they know Krishna? At least Indians, they know something about the Lord. But all these Western people, they didn't have any idea about God. So, what, you know, then what to speak of knowing Krishna? So, they knew only Prabhupada, and they knew only to please Prabhupada. And that's the reason, you know, they have sacrificed and surrendered everything, and they have made the most maximum advancement. And obviously, even if they have fallen down or if they have deviated, because of, you know, if they are loyal to Prabhupada, still loyal to Prabhupada, they can also go back to God. You know, like, so it is, it's very important, you know, to be a servant of the Vaishnavas. That is actually the real goal. That is the ultimate goal. That is the message of not only Bhagavad Gita, it is the message of Chaitanya Charitamrita. To be the servant of servant. It's a postgraduate study. So Bhagavad Gita says that we should be the servant of Krishna, right? Bhagavatam says we should be the servant of Krishna's servant. And then Chaitanya Charitamrita says we should be the servant of Das Anuyas. No, there is like Anu means atomic particle. So it's an endless, you know, servant. Like, so that's the reason it is postgraduate study. And if you become the servant of servant, then you become the postgraduate student also. Okay, but if you are, you know, stuck, you know, then like you cannot make advancement. So, it's very important, you know, to be the servant of servant. That is actually the message of Bhagavad Gita. So multiple messages of Bhagavad Gita, and but these are very important ones, right? So loyalty to spiritual master, surrender to spiritual master, that is actually the most important thing. I mean, you know, I am repeating this because Prabhupada is repeating in the 18th chapter. Many purports, if you read, you know, you'll find that Prabhupada says many times, you know, like we have gone through that 18th chapter and we know that. So that's the reason I'm just repeating all these things. So, you know, so if you remember this one principle, then, you know, that's it. You know, you faithfully just serve someone. Just serve some Vaishnav whom you trust and have faith, complete faith. That is the only goal of the, you know, because it is, you know, it is not different from becoming a servant of Krishna also at the same time. Because in the spiritual world, when you go, you know, you must be in that attitude of seeing the Lord always as the master, or, you know, seeing the devotees of the Supreme Lord as your master. So with that attitude, you know, and in order to develop this attitude, we have to undergo training because we are so conditioned. So we may appreciate someone as the spiritual master, and we may give respect and honor. But when circumstances are tested, then we might rebel also, you know, and we become ungrateful. And so that is actually, you know, the real test, and that's the reason we require training, because we forget things and we become ungrateful. You know, familiarity breeds contempt. And so it's an eternal process, you know, like the relationship is obviously eternal with the spiritual master, and it has to be cultivated eternally. Right? So, anyone has any doubt about this or disagreement about this?
No,
everyone meaning? Okay, yeah. I think Angel Mataji only. You had any comment, Mataji?
No problem.
Okay, you are saying something, no?
No, no, I was not saying.
Okay. Yeah, so. Okay, all right. So we can stop here now, and Monday we'll have our Q&A class. So we have finished the Bhagavad Gita, and let's see, whether you want to start another scripture or not. That will take some time to decide. But at least as of now, Saturdays, I think, for a couple of weeks, there will be no class, and unless we decide something. Yeah, okay. So, any question about this? What does surrender mean? In what form we should surrender? How many degrees we should surrender? All these questions are, they are supposed to be asked. It is not so easy, actually, because they are very many, complicated things. It does not mean surrender, does not mean that the spiritual master also exploits the disciples or takes them for granted and treats them as his servants. That is not the attribute of the spiritual master also. So, we talk about the attitude of the disciple, but then there is the attitude of the spiritual master also. And the spiritual master also thinks that he is the servant of his disciples, as Prabhupada used to think. And then it has to be a very transparent thing, the purpose has to be, the spiritual master should also be clear to, the motivation has to be clear that he also wants to just satisfy the Lord. He does not want to satisfy his own senses. So there are many things, many qualifications required for the spiritual master also. So one has to be, so it has to be understood, we have to understand what is the meaning of surrender, especially in Grihastha Ashram, because there are so many practical things which are not so easy. So, it's not that, for each and everything we have to consider a spiritual master. It's a very complicated process, it can become complicated. Unless we don't read Prabhupada's books and understand, and because Prabhupada says that all this knowledge is revealed to us from within, all the understanding comes from within, and this can only come when we read his books thoroughly. So what degree we have to surrender, what is the attitude of surrender, all these things can only come when we have understood the teaching of the acharyas. So, and obviously, it has to be followed by practical service. It cannot be theoretical stuff just inside the brain, right? It has to be practical service followed by, otherwise we'll never understand what we have learned and how much we are able to follow that. So, I think, if you have any questions, then we can discuss about, the principles of surrender and all that. We can discuss in our Q&A class on Monday also. Okay, all right. So, thank you, all the devotees, for participating in the Bhagavad Gita class and giving me opportunity to serve all of you. Let's see if we can continue something else later. Okay, Hare Krishna. Dandavat pranam to all the devotees.
Hare Krishna.